Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from Region 3 of OSHA. Right? That's where we are. We're still here in Region 3. This is Safety Wars for Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. A lot of exciting things going on out there, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, what do you get from being outside all day? Anything exciting happened in the last couple of days? Oh, we got a lot to say about that, but we're not going to do this. We're going to actually have an hour or two of Safety Wars. It's going to be live, or it's going to be on Rumble tonight and uploaded to Brighteon, where we're going to talk politics. There's a lot of politics to talk about. A lot of safety to talk about. But, no, I'll say this much. Right? I'll say this much. We talked several times on the show since we've been on the air. Right? About the activists that are out there, right? And what the role of the activist is, and what the leadership of activists often does. Not all, I'm not saying all, let me turn off the darn phone. I'm not saying all activists are evil. I'm not saying all activists are this, right? Well, and it goes both ways. What you are is a walking ATM for a lot of these leaders of any political movement, any religious movement, right? A good chunk of them. You're walking ATM, and you're not going to, they're looking for people to do their work, sometimes their dirty work. So, for example, you have folks out there who say, well, you know what? We're going to have a little bit of an event, and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna they get everybody all riled up, or something happens. It's like someone who I knew who was involved in law enforcement in the 1960s said everybody would talk peace when a certain person came to an event, a rally, and whatever. But there was violence afterwards. There was violence beforehand. Right? And so what am I saying here? You had Occupy Wall Street back in 2011, I think it was. And you had a whole bunch of people there on Wall Street, and there were other places there, elsewhere. The people who did the organizing for that, did they end up in jail? Did they end up with that? How about the protests? Since, hold on one second. Regardless of your opinion, pardon me there, still getting rid of this cold. Regardless of your opinion on the situation in the Middle East, you have a lot of people out there on the college campuses, Harvard, Columbia being another one, right? Taking over buildings. They're not even parts of the student body out there. They're just out, you know, people who are often paid. And yes, there are paid activists out there. They get involved. And with the Tea Party movement, it was the same deal. People get involved. They get excited. And then they go and they do stupid things. They're the ones who are getting arrested. They're the ones who are getting pepper sprayed. They're the ones who are getting tear gassed, and the leadership is somewhere in their silk and ivory tower saying how wonderful it is and keep it up and everything else. And they're out, and they're out there, if they're a man, they're in their $1,500 to $5,000 silk suits. If they're a female, they're in about the same price range of whatever clothing they're going to wear. And they're up there eating their caviar and eating their filet mignon. No, Uber Eats all the time and everything else. No, drinking that Dom Perignon on your donations. And this is the way it is. And then all of a sudden, when the dirty work has to happen, like rioting, right? Whether it's January 6th or here in LA, all of a sudden they can't be found. They're not the ones going to jail. You're the one going to jail. So please, if you're involved with these organizations, please be careful out there who you get involved with, because they'll take you right down with them. They could not care less about anything, right? It's all about maintaining power, and it's all about promoting whatever cause they are. And this goes left wing, right wing, center of the road, radical, right, apathetic, the whole thing, you know. Well, what do you mean apathetic? How many people say, well, there's nothing that you can do to change. There's nothing you could do to make things better. So sit at home and play video games and watch those there. I got the sound effect here. Watch those. Yeah. Watch those. Maybe I don't know. Oh, yeah. Movies. You know which ones I'm talking about. And that's what happens. So please think about your future. Please think about who you're involved with. What is the outcome? All of this violence and everything, not going to get there. Now, let's talk about the other end. Our friend of the program, Jody Fisher, he was on the show. He and I was on his show. Then we also did right on this show, right, with the program. He brought up a very good point today. It was journalistic ethics, the truth. Could not agree more with him. Can we get the truth as to what's going on here? We're going to attempt to find at least some truth as I see it, as Jay Allen has said in his new book, his new series of books that you got to go out and get. Connection, right? Connection. Can you make a connection with people? Right? Sometimes connections are important, but you need also content. So you need the truth here. On the other end, right, you have folks out there on the government end serving these warrants, and they pull up and they're in masks. The reason why they're in masks is that starting in January, when President Trump came in there, allegedly, this is the facts that we have as I see them, you know, different people see things differently. They were being targeted by in their own community for raids, have been called immigration raids and everything else. According to the information that was released in the last 36 hours, these are not necessarily immigration raids. They were out to get some people who were involved with some really bad crimes. And if you happen to be there, you got the right with them, and you were an illegal immigrant, then you got caught in the dragnet. That's what was released. That's what one side is saying. I don't know. I wasn't there. So what am I saying? Context drives behavior. You got to have that there context. And we're going to get into this a little bit more in depth in Safety Words Hour 2 tonight here, which will be available on our Rumble platform at JCP Technical Services, and also on Brighteon at JCP Technical Services. If I put that up on YouTube, I'm probably going to get penalized, a lot of that information, because there are people who report things that may not necessarily be true. There was another radio show where somebody said something, and they got banned for a week. And when I listened to the program, what they got banned for was rather innocuous. And it wasn't really offensive, just that somebody didn't like it and they complained. So, with that. So, we're going to take a brief commercial break here. And we're going to come back at you.
Safety Wars is streaming now. SafetyFM.com.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Okay, we're going to move on over to our regular OSHA type stuff out here. And, okay, this is from Michigan. Michigan officials confirmed the 10th workplace death of 2025. What Michigan OSHA says happened. This is from the Lansing State Journal. Dan Basso is the author. Michigan officials this week announced the 10th worker death in the state in 2025 in Oakland County laborer who was pinned by a lawnmower. So OSHA has had a focus on landscaping stuff. Right, that's one of the targeted industries, especially in Region 2. Right. The Michigan Occupational Safety and Health Administration said the fatal incident took place on May 28th in Oakland Township, and the victim, whose gender was not released, died on May 31st after being hospitalized. The 32-year-old laborer was operating a riding lawnmower along the edge of a steep embankment, the 10-foot drop into a drainage ditch. The lawnmower overturned and pinned the victim at the bottom of the ditch for 5 minutes before co-workers could free them. He was transferred to the hospital where he died later on. Rest in peace. Again, lawnmowers. Familiarity often breeds complacency. Right? The other thing is this. Right? We're not here to blame the worker on this. Who the hell is in charge here? Did that lawnmower have rollover protection? Some of them do, some of them don't. Was that the appropriate piece of equipment for that? Did the person have their seatbelt on? And again, not wearing a seatbelt, we're not blaming the operator. What about the person in charge here? Was he or she the person in charge? Lacking context, you gotta have the context here with this. Was the weather, how was the weather in this area? and a million other questions could happen. Ask those better questions out there. I was investigating an incident this week. Guess what? Asked a whole bunch of questions. All of a sudden, we found what the context was, and hey, everybody felt good right about it at the end of it. Thank God nobody was hurt. A 43-year-old cement finisher in January in Altman died of inhalation using whatever that is. Using propane-powered equipment in an enclosed farm without ventilation, a second worker was hospitalized. And this is all from Michigan. January 16th, a 42-year-old laborer died when they were struck by the tongue of a trailer. February 10th, Traverse City, a 29-year-old roofer fell 20 feet to the ground. February 12th, a 34-year-old pipe fitter died when a trench in which they were working in caved in. We're having Trench Safety Week coming up in a couple of weeks here. April 7th, in Dundee, a 63-year-old machine repairman was struck and pinned by a motorized arm near a conveyor line. April 15th, 64-year-old truck driver was struck by a semi-trailer while attempting to hook it to the truck. May 14th, in White Cloud, a 38-year-old arborist was killed when an oak tree fell, presumably on him or her, right? May 24th, in Comstock, a 71-year-old machine operator fell and was struck in the head while cutting bands from metal tubing. A lot going on there with that. That's from Lansing State Journal. Here is one from Eyewitness News, Channel 7 in, I believe, Chicago, WLS. A settlement has been reached in a lawsuit over a construction worker falling to his death at the University of Chicago Medical Campus last year. $23 million settlement is for the family of 26-year-old David O'Donnell. In June 2024, he and another co-worker plummeted 8 stories while on a scaffolding at a new cancer center. The wrongful death lawsuit targeted the construction company and others. It's argued that the scaffolding was not properly secured. Second worker who fell, Jeff Sprica, survived but was badly injured. His lawsuit is ongoing. So the fact that they didn't take a workers' comp situation here, I don't know with all the particulars are, but they have a link here.
But he's about to meet his best friend.
A legal battle continues this week with a tragic construction accident. This is from a couple of months ago.
What's wrong with you?
And the scaffolding came apart, causing them to fall more than 100 feet. O'Donnell, who was just 26-year-old, died from his injuries, while Jeff Sprica still in the hospital with serious injuries to his brain. Their lawsuit alleges workers complained about the stability on that corner days earlier when the scaffolding was lowered to the ground. So this sounds like a suspended scaffolding is what it sounds like. I think it goes without saying that both of these families have rocked to their core. O'Donnell, and the lawsuits for O'Donnell and Sprica are asking for millions of dollars in damages from the general contractor, Turner Construction, as well as one of the subcontractors. Cairo demonstrated what they believe the proper construction that scaffolding would look like. These means are supporting the scaffold, don't go all the way south. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. And this other second story is from June 20th, 2024, roughly a year ago. So, very, very, very sad situation. Again, what do you need for a suspended scaffold or any scaffolding? It has to be constructed under the direction of a competent person. Now, the other thing is this. New York City, and this sounds like a suspended scaffold. I don't know if it was or not. They require licensing for these scaffolds on Department of Building jobs. So, this, is there a scaffolding license requirement for Illinois or Chicago? I don't know. But that's something you need to double check wherever you're working. The other thing is this.
Any work was being done on the project itself.
Depending on where you live,
after two workers fell yesterday,
right, New York City being one of those places, and New Mexico being another one.
27-year-old.
The state does prosecute his injuries after the fall. So
his family tells us he was a technical engineer, the fact that the court and everything,
there is no mention of criminal activity here.
What's happened
but
to us.
That's also
it's
always
devastating. My parents
one of my questions.
Are horribly
is there criminal
by this?
Activity? With this.
I just want to go through this.
Nobody wants to go to work
Christian
to get hurt.
Pico spoke with one of O'Donnell's brothers.
I can name.
He was the best Big Brother ever. He was a great role model. He was always there for his family.
Definitely three cases.
He was
in the
there
last
for his friends too. He had so many
I've
good friends.
With.
And he loved all of them dearly.
Facilities I've been at, work sites I've been at.
He was a great guy.
Where
he impacted everybody he knew.
O'Donnell's safety people coming for
an interview, but tells us his son worked for his company. High
in an
tech
attempt
stakeout.
To overexpose
and
people
his father
to chemicals
shares
and to hurt
that O'Donnell was working on a
well, what do you mean, Jim?
Scaffold.
Well, on we're on one site
not need to be tethered.
At a oil facility.
We're on site
where
for a second day.
Nobody liked a certain safety professional, and they were bullying him and bullying him and bullying him and everything else. And he was supposed to be doing industrial hygiene monitoring at this facility. Specifically, was a for. Tetraethyl lead. It was a 35 compound screen, general for VOCs, and the third one was for polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs. So the manifold had three different tubes on it. If memory serves right, might have been two, but anyway, three, right? And he just said, "Oh, you know what? Oh, these things are so, they're like not comfortable. I get it. You're not supposed to wear. So what we're going to do is we're going to just leave them over my truck. You know, we're going to make it nice and convenient for you. Well, you know, you're never going to get anything anyway." And he also did that with real-time monitoring equipment. Back in the day, H-New, if you remember, the old-fashioned HW-101 and the MSA-361s, three gas meters, not four. Why we talk about four nowadays? Then it was three. Well, O2, LEL, and H2S. So he's just decided, hey, I'm not going to do this. And then what happened? He ended up getting fired. I came in there, and I'm doing things by the book, as always. And I'm coming up with all different kinds of readings and all of this and that. And they're like, well, how the hell did that happen? And then actually went on vacation and they put me in as a fill-in. They're like, how the hell did this, all of this happen? Jim's got this. And then the scrutiny came to me. Well, Jim, what the bleep are you doing? And I went out there, did some sampling. They watched me sample, blah, 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 blah. Did the whole thing. And then we sent them out and we were getting the consistent results. Well, obviously what happened was, right, what happened, and there were other issues going on, the guy wasn't doing his job. Why? I mean, he was prompted. Why weren't you doing what the leaf, you know, the whole thing? Said, well, because they're bullying me, you're not doing anything about it, and I did it to F him over. Delivery expose them. That was one. Second one was another one where we were in a facility where I had just finished a carbon monoxide safety class, right, where we went into all the hazards of CO. And then somebody had a problem with one of their coworkers, and they shut off all of the CO carbon monoxide sensors on a certain brand of air box for breathing air, for blast the breather box. So I'm not going to mention the brand name because just turn off all the carbon monoxide alarms to try to give his coworker carbon monoxide poisoning. And the third one was where somebody decided that they were not going to connect to the correct anchorages, even though there were signs on there, don't connect to this, this is not an anchorage, on a tie-off card on a roof. I won't mention the brand name, but the tie-off card. And I went up there and I said to him, does this guy, I'm doing my client calls. Jim, you got to get out of here. This major near miss. You got to do it. And you got to handle it just like only you can handle it. So we go up there and the guy's like, well, what's the big deal? I said, come here. You're the confident person. What's this say? Do not connect off to this. And you were up here and you let that happen. And I said to the guy, did you see this? He said, well, what's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah. I said, who can I? He said, I trusted the guy to connect that. So first, why are you trusting to the guy, that guy, to do to make the Anchorage connector for you? Right? Number one. Number two, I said, do you have a problem with that guy? Or does he have a problem with you? Is there some kind of discord here with the work crew? And he says to me, why? How could you answer, how dare you ask that question? What do you mean, how dare I ask that question? Do you have an issue with each other? And he says, no. I said, well, because I tell you what, the first thing I would say, if you fell off the freaking roof here, if I was an investigator, the first thing I would say, this guy deliberately killed you. It was like criminal level negligence here. Because it says right on here, dude, this is not an anchorage point, and he connected you to the anchorage point on the card. Well, that's kind of, are you sure? And then all of a sudden, they realized, oh, wow, well, this could actually happen. And let's take it. And now you're blaming the worker, Chip. Not blaming the worker. One of the people who was involved here was the competent person, was the owner of the company. And he was setting the stage for all this stuff. Why it is. He set the stage. He set the tone. And he was accepted. It was acceptable for him as a competent person and the owner to connect off to an unsafe anchorage point. Oh, yeah. It happens. Again, it's criminal level negligence. That even in New Jersey, they would probably convict you on that here. You know, you were supposed to do something and you didn't do it and someone got killed. I think that's one of the few times that they probably would charge you criminally. Here we have, and in case you say, well, Jim, you're full of guvno. Here we have a story from Davenport, Florida, and this was today, right before showtime at 6:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This was updated. It was published this morning. It was just updated. This is Fox 13 Tampa Bay, story by Ryan Burkett. All right. Actually, this is from the 5th, but it was just updated here. Apparently, Polk County deputies say an illegal immigrant faces a manslaughter charge after causing his co-worker's death at a construction site and then lying about what happened. They always get you in the cover. The backstory: the Polk County Sheriff's Office says investigators responded Wednesday to reports of an industrial accident at the Grand Point Apartments, a new complex off Founders Way in Davenport. Deputies say they found the body of Jose Lopez, near the front end of the loading bucket of a skid steer. Investigators spoke with Lopez's co-worker, I'm not going to mention his name, who claimed that Lopez was messing with the controls while standing under the loading bucket and hit a control that caused his head to get caught between the skid steer's frame and the bucket. How many times have we seen this on the jobs? Lots, all right? So, if you've never operated a skid steer, on a skid steer, the only one that's allowed to operate that is the operator, and there is an interlock in place in there. Often gets defeated, right? A little bit hard nowadays on a new machine, but back in the day, it would often get defeated. So, there is a bar, sort of like at an amusement park, where you have a bar on top, right? By the way, I'm a trainer on these, so... There's a bar on top, and it pulls it down, and you pull it down, and then now all the controls work. You can move it back and forth and everything else. So you have that, right, on that. So that's the context. That's the kind of machine that we're dealing with here. Martinez called deputies. He was standing several feet away. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say the name. He's innocent till proven guilty here. Was standing several feet away from Lopez and never touched him. But investigators found no footprints in the area where he claimed to be standing at the time. The detectives say the perpetrator had Lopez's blood in his pants as well, and there was also blood splatter in the cab of the skid steer except for certain areas where the operator would have been seated. When questioned about the blood, the perpetrator asked for an attorney, according to the sheriff's office. Another coworker also told investigators that the person had been in charge of operating the skid steer for much of the day, believing he was at the controls at the time of Lopez's death. PCSO says deputies arrested Martinez based on the physical evidence. So he faces a manslaughter charge, which could be upgraded from a second-degree felony to a first-degree felony due to his immigration status. He's in a Polk County jail and is being held by ICE, according to the sheriff's office. Right? Again, my question would be, and if I could almost guarantee you OSHA is going to be saying this, how are you paying these people? Were either, because you have an illegal immigrant here, were you paying him under, allegedly, an illegal immigrant? Were you paying him under the table? Because you were paying him under the table, that means you're pretty much exempt, in your mind at least, from complying with any OSHA regulations, including training, workers' comp, is another one, state law, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And was that other gentleman, the victim, unfortunately, what was his status now? You see, you open up a whole big can of worms here with this, right? So the employer, and the other thing is this, let's review this. Is the employer, right? Yeah, no one wants to be the employer. Everybody wants to be the boss. Well, I'm not the employer, so I don't have to worry about it, and the hell with you. Well, that's not how the IRS sees it. The minute that you say, you know what, the job starts at 7 a.m., guess what? You're the employer. The way it is. This is from the Columbus Dispatch. Grove City manufacturer ordered to pay $500,000 for a 2020 worker's death and OSHA violations. A manufacturer with a Grove City plant was ordered to pay $500,000 fine after being found guilty of willfully violating OSHA standards leading to an employee's death in 2020. Zachary Ledbetter, 20, died on June 11, 2020, 5 days after he was crushed inside a machine at a certain employer. On June 9, the U.S. District Court Chief Magistrate Judge Elizabeth Preston Devers ordered the company, and by the way, for complete disclosure, I have worked with this company before. They were a subcontractor for a general contractor. Right? The company pleaded guilty to willful violation of OSHA standards. And you know what I am going to do is a copy. Hold on. Give me a second here. Let me send this over to my client. One of your subs hit the news today. Hold on. Do-do-do. Hold on. Now, this happens every once in a while where somebody I know ends up in the news. And, anyway. Okay. This is from Union Pacific Railroad worker killed by a train in Nacogdoches, officials say. This is out of Texas. A Union Pacific Railroad worker died, and again, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, while working near the South Fredonia Street Railway crossing in Nacogdoches. The Nacogdoches Police Department said officers responded to reports that someone had been struck by a train on Monday. And and it's under investigation. Now, we'll keep you updated on that if anything comes up there. So, you know, again, one of the big things, getting hit by a train. Not very good. Not necessarily the way you want to go. We're going to go to another commercial break. And we will see you on the other end here. All right, we're going to continue with OSHA news.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Fire extinguisher, spark of desire. Emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard hat area, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.
Yes, we have AI music here. Yes, we do. We're all licensed and everything else with it. Nothing's stolen. People say, well, Jim, what is it? I said, it's like Weird Al, you know, with this. Except, it's, if you want to call it original, whatever, it's AI. U.S. Department of Labor recovers $824,000 in back wages. Let me do a share screen here with this. Because it is a government website. U.S. Department of Labor recovers over $824,000 in back wages and damages for Las Vegas drywall subcontractor for wage violations. U.S. Department of Labor has recovered a boatload of money for 680 employees of a Las Vegas drywall contractor that denied overtime pay to piece rate and hourly workers in violation of federal law. Recovery follows the department's wage and hour division investigation of a certain company that found the employer failed to pay piece rate and hourly workers, including painters, drywall hangers, and tapers, time and one half their regular rate of pay for hours worked over 40 hours in a week, as required by the Fair Labor Standards Act. Division found that the company paid piece rates workers without any overtime premiums for hours worked over 40, and banked the overtime hours of hourly painters, later compensating them with days off paid at straight time or not compensating them at all. The case highlights the wage and hour division's commitment to protecting construction workers' rights to be paid overtime and wages. By uncovering and addressing widespread overtime violations at Spectrum Construction, we are ensuring that and hundreds of workers receive their wages they rightfully earned. Our enforcement efforts ensure fair competition in the construction industry and send clear messages that employers are in there. So as I Right. As we're aware of, right, with this, I don't know. I imagine this took a while. I don't know if this under the Trump administration or under the Biden, this was started, this investigation, most likely Biden with the way things move. You know, so enforcement of tax law to raise money. Yeah, we're going to deregulate, but we're going to enforce tax law. And this is what people were doing, was breaking tax law. It's a real serious thing here by not doing this. People say, well, what do you mean? Well, if they're not paying you overtime, that's a problem. If they're not paying you overtime, they're not paying Uncle Sam the taxes on that overtime. Bigger issue for them. I mean, don't think that they're you know, yeah, they're out looking out for the small guy, but guess what? No, tax money. If it didn't have tax money involved in it, I don't know what kind of incentive this agency would have had to go after these folks. All right. Department of Labor recovers $101,000 in wages and damages for 31 employees of a Houston plumbing contractor who were owed overtime. U.S. Department of Labor has recovered $101,690 in back wages and damages owed to 31 employees of a Houston plumbing contractor who paid them a salary but failed to pay overtime. This sounds like a misclassification of the worker, right? From exempt from overtime to non-exempt from overtime. Investigators from the department's wage and hour determined a plumbing company categorized, yeah, I was right on here, service technicians and apprentice helpers as salaried employees and not pay them the correct overtime rate as required by the Fair Labor Standards Act. The division calculated the contractor owed $50,840,000, $845,000, right, in back overtime wages and an equal amount in damages. The department is committed to making sure every worker receives their rightful earned wages. Let me point out something to you, my opinion on here, right? I'm supposed to give my opinion a little bit, news and views. The Fair Labor Standards Act needs to be revised, needs to be updated. The Obama, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due, the Obama administration and a little bit of the Biden administration, said, look, unless you make a certain amount of money and that rate keeps changing, you have to be an hourly worker. You got to be paid by the hour. You have to have that. Because I tell you what, companies take advantage of workers that are on salary or paid internships or internships. Break the rules all the time. I see it all the time here. That's why I had an aversion to working salary for many years until I was paid an appropriate salary. I take on direct hire jobs. Sometimes you got to pay me the correct what I'm worth, right? Because back in the day, that's not what happened. They took advantage of you. And part of the thing is that companies do not invest in their employees. You do that often, right? With that. And they want to keep you at a low salary. Again, part of business is to make money. That's how they decide to make money, is on the backs of their work employees. Oftentimes when they treat them unfairly. U.S. Department of Labor, I think this sounded like June 9th, but we talked about this last week. U.S. Department of Labor take America First mission to world stage and international labor conference. Deputy Secretary Sonderling will vow to prevent restrictive regulations that threaten American innovation. U.S. Department of Labor Deputy Secretary Keith Sonderling will participate in the 113th International Labor Conference in Geneva this week, leading a U.S. delegation focused on promoting the Trump administration's America First labor agenda. Deputy Secretary Sonderling will give high-level remarks during the conference that champion the U.S.'s dominant gig economy and advocate for policies that promote innovation, freedom, and economic opportunity. His mission comes as the International Labor Organization considers new global standards that could threaten millions of businesses and workers in the U.S. and abroad. The United States is a global leader in the gig economy, and this administration intends to keep it that way by pushing back against international efforts to impose burdensome regulations that stifle innovation, harm growth, and kill jobs. President Trump has been clear, we will fight for American workers and American businesses each and every day, both at home and on the world stage. Amplifying that message and standing up for our people will be my key priorities at this conference, said Deputy Secretary Sonderling. The gig economy has become a significant driver of economic growth, offering new pathways to good-paying jobs for millions of workers globally. U.S.-developed platforms have become driving leaders for gig work, powering everything from software developments to rideshare and delivery services. Deputy Secretary Sonderling will also host a roundtable to promote the U.S. as a premier international leader in artificial intelligence, as well as hold bilateral meetings with representatives from various governments. He will also meet with ILO Director General Gilbert F. Hungbo to discuss the shared commitment to ensure American workers and businesses are not undercut by unfair labor practices. The 113th International Labor Conference runs from June 2nd to June 23rd, June 2nd to June 13th in Geneva. Always these really exciting cities they stay in, right? Geneva. I'd like to go to Geneva. I've been there before. It's a nice place. More than 6,000 delegates are registered to attend the conference representing governments as well as employers and workers' organizations from the 187 member states. Okay, this is along the lines of right what we were just talking about with wage standards here. U.S. Department of Labor to offer prevailing wage webinars in June for current and prospective federal contractors on prevailing wage requirements. The U.S. Department of Labor announced today that its wage and hour division will offer webinars on prevailing wage requirements in 2025 for contractors, contracting agencies, unions, workers, and other stakeholders involved in federally funded construction and service contracts. So my understanding on this is that if there's $1 of federal money involved in a contract, basically it's prevailing wages. And if you're a construction worker, and I'm sure some other workers also, with that. Part of its ongoing effort to increase awareness and improve compliance, the division will host two-day online seminars with sessions on the Davis-Bacon and related acts, the Service Contract Act, and other topics. Participants can choose between the sessions offered on either of the 2 days. Webinars are scheduled for June 25th to 26th and September 24th to 25th. And they say, learn more about this. We're going to click on that in a minute, right? These events help educate federal contractors seeking opportunities to employ skilled workers in communities across America. These programs are part of the department's commitment to providing employers with useful training and assistance to avoid non-compliance with prevailing wage laws. So let's click on here. They require a pre-registration here. On March 14, 2025, President Trump issued Executive Order 14236, additional rescissions of harmful executive orders and actions, which revoked, among other items, Executive Order 14026 of April 27, 2021, increasing the minimum wage for federal contractors. Pursuant to Section 2D of Executive Order 14236, the Department of Labor is no longer enforcing Order 14026 or the implementing rule. It will take steps including rescinding 29 CFR Part 23. The wage and hour addition, that's their notice, the wage and hour division will offer virtual prevailing wage seminars, provide training to on and outreach on topics such as the Davis-Bacon Act, and going on and on and on. So March 18th and 19th they had one, June 25th and 26th. Right, and it gives you everything there. With that. So if you're on a federal contract, I would advise you to go and check that out. All right. And now I got to go back to the regular screen because we're getting into non-government websites here. A Okay, this is from the National Utilities Contract Association. Next week, June 16th to 20th, this is the 2025 Trench Safety Stand Down. So it's probably worth it for you to participate in that. With that, you know, they have some resources here, and you know, just go and check it out. Here, you get it's like the OSHA outreach stuff. They give you a nice, looks like they give you a nice certificate or some kind of recognition, and they have. We'll probably talk about it next week with this. This is from businessinsurance.com. Article by Louise Esola, E-S-O-L-A, from today. The Occupational Safety and Health Commission on Monday vacated four citations totaling $78,791 in fines against a family-owned construction company following several inspections of work sites in 2023, finding that roofers were not using safety equipment were independent contractors. Oh, I would have loved to see how they prove that. As documented in Secretary Labor versus Pettingill Family Restoration, the main point of contention was whether the workers were employees of the company. The OSHA had cited Pettingill for several violations for failure to use fall protection and other safety equipment, some of which were named as repeat offenses. The company named in early citations was owned by the same person and operated as Pettingill Construction, which did not contest earlier violations. Determining whether the workers or independent contractors' employees, of which Pettingill would have had constructive knowledge of day-to-day safety lapses, an administrative law judge weighed such factors as control over work hours, right, and hiring assistance, pay and insurance, and in benefits. The judge, in what became the final decision of the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, said that the issues weighed in favor of independent contractor status and that the Secretary of Labor failed to prove otherwise. There was no evidence on this record, meaning the company, ever directed any work on a job, supervised any work or worker site at issue in the case, set any hours, schedules, or conditions, or in any way monitor or inspect or even visited actual construction sites where work was were being done by framers. Additionally, the company did not have any supervisors on site, right? Such that knowledge could be imputed to. Now, you can say, Jim, why are you going through this? One, it's in the news, right? And this is a news show, number one. Number two is this, right here. You want to go and use a legal case here? This is a legal case. Go and get the transcript and whatever you have to if you're an attorney, and you go and you check this out here with this, right? What makes it so... logic would dictate, and this is, as far as I know, true, and I'm not an attorney here. So, how do you know whether you're an employee or not? Did you direct any work on the job, supervise any worker on the job, or any work site? Did you set any hours? Did you set any schedules? Did you set any conditions of work? Did you monitor or inspect it, the job site? Did you visit it, the job site? Right? Well, then, therefore, according to this, you're not an employer. Now, you tell me what job is going to be set up like this unless you're some type of an agent of some sort and you're contracting everything out and you're sitting in an office all day. You tell me on that. No, it's an interesting thing. Here we have House panel question Labor Secretary on proposed OSHA heat rule. This is from SHRM.com. The U.S. House Committee on Education and Workforce convened on June 5th to examine policies priorities of the U.S. Department of Labor to hear testimony from Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer. One topic that came up repeated was possible a national heat illness and prevention standard. Again, the current administration rescinded it on there. This is from Safety and Health News. David Keeling shares his goals for OSHA during confirmation hearing. David Keeling has three main goals for OSHA if he's confirmed for that. One, modernization and regulatory oversight and rulemaking, expanding OSHA's cooperation and collaboration efforts, and number three, OSHA's enforcement transformation. Senator Lisa Murkowski asked how OSHA plans to fill the data and information gap left by NIOSH after massive cuts to that agency's staff and budget. OSHA has traditionally relied on NIOSH data and recommendations for many of the workplace safety standards, Murkowski said. I'm concerned this is going to hamper some of the vital research that is out there. Keeling said OSHA could use data and research from professional groups or private entities to help fill some of those gaps. He also said, obviously, I'm not in place and haven't spoken to the career side from OSHA on that point. He concluded there are ways to fill a gap, not necessarily easily, but there are ways. Another senator asked about OSHA's proposed standard on emergency response. The agency published the proposal, right? With that, Keeling said a possible path through exists for the standard, but it may come in a revised form. Mentioned there are some concerns from volunteer fire departments and others on how they will make the standard work from voluntary firefighter thing. So if we recall, we covered this on this program. One of the main points is respiratory fit testing and medical monitoring for that. So are you able to wear a respirator? That's CBA. Are you able to do that? Are you medically able to do this? Now you may say, well, Jim, blah, 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 blah. Again, I share the story of my mother-in-law, Nancy's funeral. Someone puts on a little imitation paper mask because it's during COVID. They're walking out of the church carrying the coffin, one of the pallbearers. It was a supply pallbearer from the funeral home. The guy has some type of a seizure or asthma attack or whatever and drops the coffin. Then two other people on the one side of the coffin drop the coffin. It didn't open, but... You know, this happens here. Was he medically able to wear them? Because if that could happen with a little paper dust mask, what about everything else that's out there? That's what I got for tonight. We're going to roll out with the usual national anthem. Right? And we're going to go and so we'll see you tomorrow. So here's our outro, our national anthem, and we'll finish off with some AI music, as usual. I don't know which one. We're getting some more stuff out there.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Route 80 is supposed to be opening up this week, so we're just going to do one more round. Holes in the ground, dedicated to Route 80 in New Jersey. That was shut down due to a sinkhole.
Blacktop stretch, but there's no sound. underneath the earth falls down. forgotten veins left long untamed.
Let's try now that again. Route 80 sun.
Stretch, but there's no sound underneath. The earth falls down. Forgotten veins left long untamed. Now Route 80 sunk in shame. Cars are stranded, chaos flies. The cracks reveal where danger lies. A hungry mouth swallows it whole. The road's a beast with no control. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us under. Built on mines where greed did plunder. Route 80's a ghost, it's breaking apart. Abandoned dreams, tearing highways hard. Shadows of men who dug too deep left their scars where the earth does weep. Rushing wheels now pay the toll on a road with a fractured soul. No warning signs, just borrowed time. The hidden past now climbs the climb. A history that won't stay buried by the weight the earth was carried. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us under. Built on mines where greed did plunder. Route 80 is a ghost, it's breaking apart. Abandoned dreams, tearing highways hard. No warning signs, just borrowed time. The hidden past now climbs the climb. A history that won't stay buried by the weight the earth.